This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, where we left off last time. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Just before we begin, I would like to give all of you out there in radio and internet land, I'd like to give you a prayer cloth. I pray over prayer cloths like Paul did, and I give them to people. There is no charge, I just want to give you something. But I don't know your mailing address, so if you will send me a self-addressed envelope. Do not send the stamp. I want to give this to you. I will pay the postage. I will mail back to you and pray over a prayer cloth just for you. So just send me a self-addressed envelope, no stamp, and I will give that lovingly, and I might even get my twin friend Scott to help me pray for you. God bless you. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. In the last chapter, Peter told us that we need to develop a divine nature, and he taught us how to do that last week. And I realized that the reason we need to do this is because of the title of the lesson we're going to study today, which is deception. Deception of the Antichrist and deception of his false prophets who are now preaching his doctrine. Now, deception will cause you to go to hell. There is an antidote for that, antibiotic, if you'd like to say, and that's discernment of spirits. This chapter 2 is a sign of the end of time. We are at the end of this flesh age. We're in the fifth trump, a time of learning. At the sixth trump, the Antichrist will come and deceive the world, and then his time's been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13, Revelation 9, and then Jesus will come, so we're at the end. So you're going to hear some signs of the time, and this should jumpstart you to get up and do what God means for you to do. Here we go. Scripture reading for 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, whose trouble shall bring in damnable heresies. Damnable heresies. Now that sign is very prevalent right now on planet Earth, and especially within the body of Christ. In 1832, a demented woman, Margaret MacDonald, had a vision. At first, even she in her dementia said, "This is evil." And then she said, "No, the creature I see trying to get everybody to fly away with him is so beautiful, it must be Jesus." Then she said, "I know, I'll find a scripture to back it up." So she went to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, caught up in the air, thinking that's what it meant. So she told two itinerant preachers, "Jesus is coming to catch us up in the air and fly away." They brought it to America, and now it is the doctrine. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, there are proverbs. They're called the Lifeline Proverbs. There's a series of them. I taught Ezekiel on this radio program. It's on the internet. And there's a whole series of the proverbs there in Ezekiel that have to do with a Lifeline Proverb. You can read King James Version, Ezekiel 13, and God says, "I am against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls." All of you have heard that. You see, Jesus is coming here to stay. He's going to be here the 1,000 years of the millennium, and then he's going to make heaven on earth. So if you've flown away, you've missed Jesus. You might need to read Zechariah chapter 5, and all the people that try to get into that hot air balloon and go up, they just don't make it. So that is a damnable heresy. Now, I want to explain to you. I know some of you say, "But it says right here, caught up in the air." I know, I just said that. That is a metaphor. It's a figure of speech. It does not mean to fly up into the atmosphere, into the nimbus, cumulus, stratus, and cirrus clouds. It means to change into the spirit body, air like pneuma and air in your tire. Yes, when the real Jesus comes, we're going to change into our spiritual bodies, 1 Corinthians 15:52. So see, we have to understand what we're talking about. Jesus is coming here and he says, will I find any faith on the earth? That's the lifeline proverb, a damnable heresy. They do it in ignorance, but it's going to lead many people to worship the devil, as you're about to hear.
Even denying the Lord.
See, if you go with that, he isn't really going to take you out there, but everybody starts to get the bus load up, the airplane load up, whatever. If you believe that, you have married the devil. See, that first Messiah coming in the sky is the devil instead of Christ. Anti means instead of, take the place of. He's going to pretend to be. The world will call him Savior. Christians deceived half the body of Christ. Matthew 25 will call him Jesus. So you have denied Jesus because you've married the devil. What do? We accept Jesus now, right? But then you will have denied him because you will have accepted the devil, even though he's got his Jesus costume on. You need to learn when a person's got a costume on. You need to learn the real thing, discernment of spirits.
Brought them, and even bringing among themselves quick destruction.
Destruction means Apollyon in the Greek, and in Revelation chapter 9 it says the Antichrist is Abaddon in Hebrew, Apollyon in the Greek, which means the destroyer. So the destroyer is the devil, and he's out to destroy as many of you as he can.
Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of which the truth shall be evil spoken of. The word of truth shall be evil spoken of.
You can mention somebody like that you're not going to fly away, and they'll call you a false prophet right now. And there you've got all the scriptures to prove it. See?
And his covetousness shall they rescind, make merchandise of you.
In other words, he'll eat you for lunch. When Antichrist comes, he's going to be so smooth talking, cause peace and safety, pay your mortgage and everything. I mean, peace on earth, a big revival in the Christian church. The Christian church deceived, but not the small little group of elect.
His judgment now of a long time rendereth not, and they slumbereth not. Verse 4. But if God spared not the angels that sinned.
Now, what angels are he talking about? Remember, this whole subject is deception. He's talking about Genesis 6. It says the sons of God went into the daughters of Eph Adam, the man Adam. This is also mentioned in the book of Jude. This Hebrew word there is Napha or Nephilim. These are the fallen angels that came in refusing to be born of women. Satan sent them in Genesis 6. And they married the daughters of the man Adam on Satan's direction to pollute the pedigree so that Messiah could not come through a pure line. It says pedigree in the manuscripts. And Jude also tells about them. They produced giants, which is a hybrid, which is impure. So these are the fallen angels. Now, why is he mentioning it now? Because they are coming with Satan. When Satan comes in the sky, Revelation 12, booted out by Michael, he's bringing his entourage with him. Remember, he's an imitator. Isn't Jesus coming in the sky? Isn't Jesus coming with an army? But before him, Johnny on the spot, the devil will. And he's bringing the fallen angels with him. They are charismatic. They will come into assemblies like this, and it says, women, have your head covered. In other words, it doesn't matter what you look like, woman. They're going to try to seduce you because they want you to believe that their daddy is Jesus. And so they're going to come into the Christian assemblies, and they're going to preach and be the false prophets and tell you that that one coming is the true Messiah. So they're on their way. Some of them could come a little early. They're definitely coming with him. Big deception. They will come to all of the church meetings. They'll try to come in here. I will know them.
And cast them down to hell.
They have been sentenced. They didn't have another chance. God sentenced them. Right now they're being held with chains. The little book of Jude says that. They're going to be let loose for one more playtime, and that will be when they come with Jesus. Now, how are they going to get their judgment? God says that when Jesus comes in at the seventh trump, Jesus is coming with his army, and these fallen angels will be here on planet Earth in Jerusalem with their daddy, the devil, pretending to be Jesus. And when the fallen angels see Jesus' army, they're going to fight with Jesus and the army and his army. and they're going to disintegrate in a split second with the brightness of his coming. They'll meet their Waterloo.
Deliver them unto judgment.
That's Revelation 11 if you want to read about it.
And spared not the old world, but saved Noah and 8 persons, a preacher of righteousness.
Now God mentions the flood of Noah right after this fallen angels. The reason for the flood of Noah was to cleanse out this hybrid, these giants. See, remember, it was sent to mess up the pedigree. There was only Noah, his wife, his 3 sons and their wives that had not mixed with the fallen angels, with the exception of Enoch the prophet, but he wasn't into having babies, okay? And so God needed a pure seed line. So he wanted to clean out and sweep out that hybrid to prepare a clean earth in place for the Messiah to come. Now, this is not the first flood that is mentioned in the Bible. You know about Noah's flood. There was a flood before that. It's called the Katabole, K-A-T-A-B-O-L-E in the Greek. It's Satan's rebellion in the first earth age. Next week, Peter's going to teach us about the 3 earth and heaven ages. You may be saved, but you may go around in a fog unless you know that there was an earth age before this, when Satan rebelled and said, I will be God, which is what jump-started the sin, which is why we're here in the flesh. And you need to know about the 3 earth and heaven ages. You will never know the mystery. And if you ever get it, it'll change your life, because you're going to have a whole different perspective of why you're here. You won't get so caught up in this nonsense, which I really call the flesh life nonsense, except you accept Jesus and do some good.
Bringing the flood upon the world.
Now, when Satan comes back, in Revelation 12, he's going to go after the woman. The Satan says dragon is going to go after the woman. Dragon is the name of Satan, the name of Antichrist. The woman will be the elect, not deceived. Remember, half the body of Christ is going to be deceived. It'll be a big revival all over America. They'll think Jesus is here. But he will go after the woman, the elect, with a flood. What's the flood? The flood of lies. Because he's going to have to bring us up before him, and he wants to convince us that he's the Lord before then. Because when we are delivered up before the Antichrist, the Holy Spirit's going to speak and going to expose him. And he doesn't want that.
Ungodly. 6, and turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes.
Then he goes on, he says, one of the signs of the end of time is Sodom and Gomorrah. Thank God for President Trump. And we appreciate him. We've prayed for him. And we've got a chance now in our land. You can actually say Jesus now. You can say Christmas. Praise the Lord. But in administration before, we watched the leader change our Constitution. Our Constitution comes from the common law of England, which comes from the Bible. And God says that marriage is between male and female. And God's Bible says it is an abomination for man to be with man or woman to woman. The Bible says it. God says it. So go argue with him there. But then last administration ordained in our country that it would be legal same-sex marriages. Well, what happened then? Then we brought down the curse of Sodom and Gomorrah on our country. So see, we're under the same curse. And Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for that sin of sodomy.
Dimming them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly.
That after should live. It should be an example for people. They should have thought, but I guess the people that break our laws and break the Bible don't read the Bible, do they?
7, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the conversation of the wicked.
Conversation, lifestyle. I've got a couple of glitches on this thing, so bear with it. Lifestyle. What it was, Lot was Abraham's nephew, and he's there with his wife and 2 daughters, and they had to put up with that. It was just everywhere. Now, I want to explain to you something. There is in the United States of America a demon that has attacked us, and that's why we have all this unrest and chaos and riots. And it's this spirit there. And it's mentioned in the book of Job. And it looks like an alligator, crocodile, okay? And it has a twisted, in other words, it's phony, it's twisted, it's a lie. The devil always twists everything. He just twists everything. The media twists everything. Look, President Trump will say something, and then they will twist it and make it, you know, make it say something else. The demented woman from 1832 said something, just a vision, confused by a demented woman, and they twisted and made a whole doctrine out of it. So that twisted spirit has permeated the United States of America, and you need to know that. It's in politics and it's in religion.
8. But that righteous man dwelling among them.
So my point is, Lot was vexed with that every day. I want to warn you that what's coming out through your news, watch, the speed has been accelerated. I saw it change. I saw when things changed in the spirit that everybody started speaking. They told them all to speak twice. It's rude. I taught speech. It's rude to speak that way, period. And then they go on and they all talk at one time, and they're screaming in fear. That is toxin. That's poison. Words have power. If you listen to that very much, you're going to get sick. That is that foul spirit of the old crocodile spirit there in the book of Job. And that twisted spirit will actually make you sick. So listen only what you have to. You do should listen to the news, because you can keep up with what's going on. The news is in the Bible. Then you know where you are. But it will make you sick. It literally makes me sick if it plays too long. I'll find myself starting to get physically ill. That makes good sense. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Sin will make you sick. Guess what will happen then? Then you die. The wages of sin is death. So be careful about that, because that is a twisted demon that has taken over America.
Seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation.
He knew how to get Lot out of there. He did.
To reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness.
Uncleanness. He calls same sex unclean. And of course, when you think of the body and how they perform that act, of course it would be unclean. Now, I do not hate these people. I have taught a whole room full of them, and as people, I love them. But I know the sin is an abomination to God. Some say, but Sherry, I was born that way. Now wait just a minute. You were born, probably most of you who are born kind of half normal, love ice cream. How many of you love ice cream? Shout.
Yeah.
Okay. So what if you say, I need to have ice cream for breakfast and lunch and dinner because I was born loving ice cream? So, I mean, isn't that foolish? No, you'd say, no, I'm going to eat ice cream. I was born this way. It's my right. It's the right thing for me to do, to eat ice cream all the time. And you get sick as a dog. Doctor says, don't eat any more ice cream. So a man sees a beautiful woman. His hormones start working, and a young guy sees a girl. And, I mean, you could start thinking about getting together there, a little physically there. But you could say, no. Peter said, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Okay? People who are not married, you're never supposed to have sex until you're married. They start feeling that way, and they decide to live together. They think that's really nice because that twisted spirit has said it's all right, that's taken over the media. No, you just say no. So say no to all these sins, and then go have some ice cream.
Yeah. Despise government.
Despise government. That means they despise the government of God, because the final government is the courts of heaven, and they despise what God says. That's why they don't like for us to preach to them. They want to shut our mouths. We're not ever supposed to say. That's why they call, are you homophobic? No, I'm xenophobic.
Sensuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries.
Have you ever heard such ugly words about our President Donald Trump? It's beyond the pale.
11. Whereas angels, which are great in power and might, bring not railings against them.
Even the holy angels could tie them in and could bring them in, But they're trusting that God is going to take care of it, and he is. We know that the devil was fussing with Michael the archangel and trying to get him to show him where Moses' body was. And Michael the archangel had great power, but he just said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." So even the holy angels that are around see all this that's happening here, and they're waiting for God's judgment.
Lord, 12. But these, as natural brute beasts.
Beast here in the Greek is a viper. And one of the names of Satan is the serpent. The Antichrist is the serpent. He is the devil. He is the dragon. Nobody else is going to play that. Don't you let him tell you it's a man out of Rome. Satan's not letting anybody play that part. He always wanted to be Messiah. So these people are natural vipers. Why is that? Because Satan has children. Did you know that? The fallen angels are on his camp. And then, because Satan beguiled Eve, there was Cain. The descendants of Cain are the devil's children. They filled administration, especially the last time in Washington, D.C. We're trying to drain the swamp of the vipers right now. And it's just a big mess. And they're the Kenites. K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They say they are our beloved brother Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. So he says these are natural brute beasts. In other words, the devil's children and all of their demonics have taken over planet Earth. Revelation says that Euphrates has been opened. All the demons of hell are out now.
Made to be taken and destroyed, to speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness.
I'm so glad to hear that. Psalm 37 says it looks like the wicked get away with it, but they don't. Just like the Lord promises to reward you, Christian, to reward us for even giving a cup of cold water to a little one. It's not talking about little water, sorry. It means the water of life, the word of God to someone to give that. You get a reward for that. Judgment Day is going to be reward day for those of us who've given our lives to God. Have you given everything? Have you given him your talent, your time, your love, your heart? Or do you just spend a little time thinking about him and most of the rest of the time thinking about your stuff? It's God's stuff, people. And let's go with God's stuff, okay? And so then the same way, there is a reward for the wicked. Everybody's going to get our just desserts.
As they that count it a pleasure to riot in the daytime.
I told you this was a prophecy at the end time. There they are rioting. We just read that all over the place, saying ugly things and terrorizing people. And see, that's the twisted spirit there of the book of Job. And it's twisted, and it's just like a viper right here all through the United States of America.
Spots they are.
Revelation 15 says those of us who overcome the deception of the Antichrist will sing the overcomer's song, Deuteronomy 32, which says, their spot's not our spot. Their spot is one of a viper. Our spot is the blood of a lamb.
Blemishes, spoiling themselves with their own deceivableness by their feast with you.
They come into your assemblies and sport themselves, and they say, but you're Christians, you're supposed to love us. In other words, they play on the love thing, because all of us who are Christians know that Jesus says that we must love one another. So they come into your assemblies and say, if you were a true Christian, you would love us. Well, we love them, but you don't have to love what they do. And many Christians are folding on this and even joining in some of their rioting to show them that we love them. We do love them. But the book of Romans says if they don't change and repent of that, they're going to walk into the lake of fire. Now, it would be love to pull them out of the fire.
Sporting themselves with their own lasciviousness. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery.
What it means is even though they come in with their same-sex person into your assembly or to the party or the store or the workplace, they always want somebody else. I was in theater for a while. God used it to train me. I had some good Christian friends in theater, actors and actresses. So the cast party, I'd walk in, they'd say, come on over here, Sharon, let's sing. We'd sing some gospel songs. We could sing good. Some of us could harmonize. It was pretty. But sometimes they would come in, and we would look at them, and they weren't satisfied with the partner they were with. They were always looking around the room trying to get another. See, lust isn't love. because lust can never be satisfied.
Amen. They cannot cease from seeing, from sin, beguiling unstable souls and hearts that have exercised their covetous practices. Cursed children.
They are cursed children. So we got two categories of people on the earth, blessed children and cursed children. Sadly, many Christians are under the curse because you're disobeying God in so many ways. Choose blessings or choose cursing. Choose to love God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and give everything about your life and your heart away to Him. Be what He wants you to be. You will be blessed in this lifetime and in the one to come. Or you can reject Him and do it your way and walk into the lake of fire and be eternally cursed.
15, which have forsaken the right way.
Always go the right way. Always turn to the right.
And have gone astray, following the way of Balaam.
Now, Balaam was a prophet of God, and he had a gift. He would speak, and it would come to pass. But he had a weakness. He loved money. So another king went to him. I'm going to play a little bit more of this and get the little glitch out of my machine here.
The son of Manoah, who loved the ways of
Okay, there we go. This other king told Balaam, I want you to come and I'm going to give you some good wages. That's what he was trying to say there. Some wages, and I want you to curse Israel. So Balaam saddled up his donkey, and he started to go so he could get the money and curse Israel. Now, he was an Israelite. Well, the donkey looked up and saw an angel with a sword in front of Balaam, and Balaam was about to walk right into the knife, would have sliced his head off. And the donkey, to try to save Balaam, pushed him over to the side and hit the little post on the side of the road. Balaam got mad at the donkey and slapped him. The donkey said, I've been so true to you, you don't even see that angel with a sword about to kill you, and I'm trying to save your life. Well, Balaam went on and went to the king and took the money. But when Balaam tried to curse Israel, he got his tongue tangled and blessed Israel. God had the last laugh.
Wages of unrighteousness. 16, but was rebuked for his iniquities, but then asked, speaking, to hear the voice of the madness of the prophet.
The donkey rebuked him. Balaam's talking donkey. Real story.
17, these are wells without water.
Well without water is a hole in the ground. The fallen angels will come, the politicians who are the devil's children, promising you everything and giving you nothing. If you're like your doctor, you can have him. If you're like your insurance policy, you can have it. Wells without water, empty vanity, lies, the lie proverb in the pulpit.
Clouds with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity.
Bethaveen, empty, big and swelling, no substance, no virtue.
They are lured through the lust of the flesh and wantonness. They that were cleansed were escaped and condemned, escaped from them who were in error. 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption.
As they come in and try to convince you and try to convince children. See, in the schools now, they have the little books that, you know, Susie has two mommies and all that kind of stuff. And they don't have to decide. Maybe they'd like to be a man. Maybe they'd like to be a girl. All of this, it puts them in bondage. Anything to which you're addicted, whether it's pornography, whether it's alcohol or drugs, or that you've got to be the center of attention all of the time, or anything like that, or extreme sex, you're the one who's in bondage. In other words, you're a slave to that. That's your God.
For of whom they are overcome are the same as those in bondage. Parentheses, for of whom a man is overcome, he himself is brought into bondage. Parentheses. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and are again entangled therein.
Okay, after they have repented of their sins, see, we're talking about the Christian church here, and they've changed, and then they go back to their ways. In other words, they go back to the alcohol, they go back to the promiscuity and sex, or that kind of thing, or back to the drugs, or back to whatever it is. What happens?
The latter end is worse for them than the beginning.
Why is that? Because the Bible says, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And the Bible says that to whom much is given, much is required.
21, for it had better for them had they not known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. 22, but it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, quote, a dog is turned to his own vomit, unquote. And, quote, the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mud, unquote.
Though both of those proverbs are in the Bible. You take that little pig and you wash him up and you paint its little nails pink, put a little bow on him, but then you put a little mud puddle on here, shoo, he'll go for the mud every time. What happens to people like that? Conversion is an inside job. It's not a mental decision, it's a gut decision. In other words, true conversion is you are a new creation. Your spirit is transformed, your soul is transformed. And when it's real, nobody can pull you away from it. Mental salvation doesn't do it. That's where we just want to make so sure that you're not praying robotic prayers and that you're not mentally assessing all of this. This is a love story and it's deep emotion in it. Well, next week I want you to tell everybody you know we're going to have 2 Peter chapter 3, and he's going to give us a thorough teaching on the three earth in heaven ages. If you love God, if you want to understand why you're on the planet, you need to know this, because very few people in the body of Christ do know it. Well, it's time right now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. May I introduce to you a man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. I mean, what a description of the living word of God's prophecy coming true around
isn't
us.
Isn't that true?
Isn't it? It's just amazing. Just
right
amazing.
Here, right now.
Right here, right now. Okay, our question tonight, we have one. When is the Sabbath?
When is the Sabbath? Now, literally, in Bible times, the Sabbath was on the Saturday. Constantine came along and changed it to Sunday. But God means more than that. The book of Colossians, chapter 2, says that Jesus nailed the Sabbath to the cross. It was one of those, not a blood ordinances, but a statute. That's the word I've been looking for, statute. That now, every day becomes your Sabbath. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Passover is the highest Sabbath there is. Sabbath means to rest. So if you're going to make it in this jungle with the twisted serpents and the twisted crocodiles and all of this spirit coming in over the lives of the media, almost all of the media, you had better learn how to Sabbath in the Lord every single day. Run into his secret place and you'll be okay.
Amen.
Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart, and Scott, Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Scott, what is Scott's stuff?
We have a God in heaven who reveals mysteries and secrets. This end time body has an unimaginable promise of living in a day in which the seals are broken and the books of heaven are opened to his betrothed ones as hidden manna for a generation hungry to consume the reality of heaven, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Revelations 10 and Colossians 1:12.
Revelation and Colossians. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Scott Merson. That is beautiful.
You're welcome.
Before I pray for those of you who are sick, let me pray for you to be saved. Please pray this with me and mean it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus shed his blood for my sins.
Jesus shed his blood for my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Fill me with all the fullness of you, God.
Fill me with all the fullness of you, God.
Lead me by your Spirit.
Lead me by your Spirit.
Guide me into all truth.
Guide me into all truth.
Make me a pure and holy vessel.
Make me a pure and holy vessel.
Fit for the Master's use.
Fit for the Master's use.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 In a few moments, my announcer will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call me and leave a message and let me know that you were saved. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, O Holy Spirit, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Like a chariot going through the land, the healing virtue is flowing. Like seeds being thrown out from heaven, the healing virtue is falling into headaches and backaches and bones and muscles and nerves and stomachs and head and brain and eyes and nose and limbs and hearts and lungs. And the seeds of healing are just pouring out on the land. He sent his word and healed you. Oh, he restores health and cure to you. Receive, grab your healing seed and believe with Jesus' stripes you were healed. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 For those of you who were healed, please feel free to tell me that also. And don't forget to send me a self-addressed envelope. I will pay for the stamp, and I'll send you a prayer cloth, okay? Don't forget now that Jesus is Lord. Jesus says that thy word is truth. All of this beautiful truth that you're getting, it's not for you to keep. You're supposed to share it. You're supposed to give it away. Now, until next time, this is Sherry Medlock, your host, with my twin friend Scott Merson, saying we love you, we ask God to bless you and keep you and heal you and provide for you. We ask that you be given the gift of discernment of spirits, that you be not deceived, that you be holy vessels, that you be filled with the Spirit, that you go about being light bearers, and that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Now remember, until next time, let's all go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Are you a Christian woman looking to network and fellowship with other Christian women? Are you a female pastor looking to connect and find support among other female pastors? Pastor Shayna Wise, founder of Christian Women Preachers United, welcomes you to join her this Saturday, July 28th, for food, fellowship, and kingdom networking with other women of God. Christian Women Preachers United is an interdenominational and diverse group of women who support each other by sharing wisdom and experience in ministry. This free meeting is this Saturday, July 28th, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at IHOP on University Boulevard in Orlando. More information can be found by visiting ChristianWomenPreachersUnited.com. That's ChristianWomenPreachersUnited.com.
Happy. Mystery, all I can see, all I can find. Listening to 91.5 FM, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Song of your salvation. win this generation for our King. Song of your forgiveness, for it is with grace that river flows. Take us to the river in the city of our God.
Take us to your throne room, say a melody, let's sing it together.
Take us to your throne room. Give us ears to hear the cry of heaven, for that cry is mercy, oh mercy, mercy to the fallen sons of men. Mercy it has triumphed over judgment by your blood. Take us to the throne room in the city of our God.
It's for the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
For the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us. This is the year of the Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
Take us to the mountain.
So take us to the mountain.
Lift us in the shadow of your hand.
Lift us in the shadow of your hand. Is this your mighty angel? He stands astride the ocean and the land. For in his hand your mercy showers on a dry and barren place. Take us to the mountain in the city of our God.
For the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
For the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. Your salvation to win this generation for our King. Song of your forgiveness, for it is with grace that river flows. Take us to the river in the city of our God.
Take us to the throne room in the city of our God.
Take us to the throne room in the city of our God.
And take us to the mountain.
Take us to the mountain in the city of our God.
Bless your holy name.
be alive. There is still time for changing the world. I believe it can happen. God has given us life. Yeah. He has given us breath. And the sun is not set. We are not finished yet. And I tell you, there must be a reason. This can be your finest hour. This can be your greatest day. This could be your finest hour. Don't throw it away. Cause you just never